This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a great Mother's Day and glad you're spending time with WRKF. And our guest this morning to start is Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican from the Shreveport area, classmate in law school at LSU of Governor John Bel Edwards, and a man who is making big news in Washington. Congressman Johnson is a member of the Judiciary Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives, which is ground zero for reviewing the Mueller report. And good morning to you, Congressman.
Hey, Jim. Great to talk with you again.
Well, nice to talk with you, as always, and thank you for doing this. Well, tell us where we are right now regarding the Democratic majority, the chairman, Mr. Nadler, and the Republicans on the committee like you have some reservation about the direction the chairman is going. Where are we?
We do. Where we are right now is in a moment of chaos, but it frankly has been created by the Democratic leadership of our committee. Chairman Nadler, as everyone saw the spectacle last week, prematurely called for a vote to hold the Attorney General of the United States in contempt for not answering his subpoena. The problem is, as we went to great pains to try to explain, as did the Attorney General, he simply could not comply with the subpoena as it was composed without violating very specific provisions of federal law. So, they, you know, Jim, they put the Attorney General in an impossible position. He had no choice but to withhold the information and to very reluctantly request that the president make a protective assertion of executive privilege over these materials, because otherwise, as we said, he would have been in violation, direct violation of expressly written federal law.
Okay. Well, there are many issues permeating, as you know, and of course the chairman wants Bob Mueller to testify before your committee. The president has said publicly he does not want that to happen. Who's right?
Well, look, here's the thing. The American people deserve transparency. And the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, Mueller, and everyone have been more than willing to provide that. You know, let's remember what's happened over the last few weeks. The Attorney General has released the Mueller report to the public. He then provided a less redacted version within the bounds of the law to members of Congress. And then he came before the United States Senate and testified for almost 6 hours. So no one can say he's trying to hide the ball. You know, the interesting thing is on this less redacted report that has been provided, if you look at the public comments, Jim, of what Chairman Nadler has said over the last several weeks, they've really focused heavily on this question of obstruction. We know there was no collusion. That's been, you know, clarified. But they're trying to make something over whether or not the Trump administration was involved in obstruction of the investigation. The second volume of the Mueller report is about obstruction. It's 182 pages in length. You know how many lines are redacted in the less redacted version that's available right now and has been available to Nadler and the rest of the leaders of these committees? Six lines. You have six lines redacted out of a 182-page report. And yet Chairman Nadler has not had the care or concern to go look at it.
All right. Well, the Mueller report was 448 pages, and I'm told that 7% of it is redacted, which means 93% of it is available. And Congress is an equal branch of government. Shouldn't you have the right as a member of Congress to have the same access to the report that the president did? He's read it.
Well, we should, but there's a certain procedural sequential set of steps that you have to take to do that. We protect grand jury material. We always have. It's part of our federal rules of criminal procedure. There's a number of important reasons for that. But what Chairman Nadler has requested here is not only the Mueller report. He wants all the documents referenced in the report and all the documents obtained in investigative materials that were created by the special counsel's office. Now, if you look at the letter that the Attorney General wrote in haste to the President of the United States on the morning of May 8th, right before our committee was called for this contempt hearing, the Attorney General said, and I'm going to quote to you these two lines from his letter. He said, "Mr. President, the committee is demanding all the special counsel's investigative files, which consist of millions of pages of classified and unclassified documents bearing upon more than two dozen criminal cases and investigations, many of which are ongoing. And the materials also include law enforcement information, information about sensitive intelligence sources and methods, and grand jury information that the department is prohibited from disclosing by law," unquote. So So what he's explaining there is that, listen, Mr. President, the American people, members of the Judiciary Committee, we are trying to be as transparent as possible, but we cannot sacrifice national security. We can't compromise 12 ongoing criminal investigations, and we can't reveal grand jury information because the law prevents us from doing so. He's been trying to have a negotiation with Chairman Nadler, but Nadler called a contempt hearing for purely partisan political purposes, and that's what's so sad about this.
Now, the Attorney General has been invited to appear before the committee, has rejected that, although he did appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee, which, of course, is run by Republicans. Shouldn't the Attorney General appear before your committee?
He should, and what's really unfortunate about this is he was planning to come the morning of May 8th. That was the hearing where he was going to come testify. But because Nadler pulled this political stunt, he had no choice but to back out of that and not appear before us because he knew it would be turned into a political circus, an ambush. Chairman Nadler has made very clear what they're about. They're trying to take down a sitting president. And he said famously over the last several days, we're at a moment of constitutional crisis. Look, Jim, the only constitutional crisis right now is that you have elected representatives of the people on one side of the aisle who are so blinded by their political hatred of the president, they've decided to abuse our oversight responsibilities in Congress. They're trying to do everything they can to muddy the waters and to take this president down. And it's very unfortunate. The Attorney General sees that, and he's trying to maintain the integrity of the Department of Justice and our institutions, and he has no choice but to do what he's done.
Congressman Mike Johnson, as you know, the House Ways and Means Committee has requested 6 years of the president's tax returns as the law apparently gives them the right to do. It says the president shall deliver the tax returns to the committee, but the president is objecting to that and has gone to court. Should he, the president of the United States, deliver his tax returns to the House Ways and Means Committee?
Well, I guess the court will ultimately decide that. I don't see how anyone could doubt his concern or be critical of his concern about this, because as I've just illustrated, what's very clear is that, you know, this is being done for raw partisan political purposes. I mean, the chairman of the committee who's requested those tax documents, his supposed justification, or the stated justification, was because he wants to check and see how the IRS is handling audits. Well, you don't need the president of the United States tax returns to do that. It's a sham. They have no reason to go after it other than they want to try to embarrass the president somehow. And I'm not sure what their theory is on what's in those documents, but that's what this is about. So I think the president is well within his right to object to that for those reasons, and we'll see if the courts agree. I suspect they will.
Now, a Senate committee has asked for Donald Trump Jr. to appear based on findings in the Mueller report regarding connections to Russia. Is this appropriate? Now, this is a Senate committee, of course, which is run by a Republican, Richard Burr of North Carolina. Is this a good idea?
I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, it'd be one thing if Donald Jr. had not previously testified, or if he had some really pressing information that was needed. I mean, he's already subjected himself to, I think, over 30 hours of testimony before congressional committees in the Senate. And, what more can you ask? I mean, it's time for the American people. I think most of the polling is showing now, most of the American people agree that it's time for us to move on from all this. The collusion investigation has been decided. Mueller spent more than 2 years and over $40 million, nearly $40 million in the investigation, unlimited resources, personnel. They looked into these millions of documents, as the Attorney General has summarized, and they found that there was no collusion. So that's good news. That's something that everybody in the country should celebrate, in spite of the fact that Russia certainly tried. No one in the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government, and that's a good thing. And it's time for us to move on. We've got pressing issues that the American people need us to address, but we're wasting our committee time dealing with this and beating the dead horse, as it were.
Now, last week it was reported, Congressman Johnson, that the president in a 10-year period paid little or no taxes, despite the fact that he was writing books like The Art of the Deal, saying he was a billionaire. You're the son of a firefighter. You're a blue-collar guy from Shreveport. How do you relate to this big man from Gotham City who apparently plays by different rules than the rest of us?
Well, I mean, I don't relate to much of his background, his lifestyle, of course. But I'm not sure I would characterize it exactly that way. I mean, I'm not privy to the great big world of Manhattan real estate development, but it's a very different world from the one I came from. And I know there's all sorts of, you know, people pay lots of money for lawyers and accountants and people who can be creative with the tax code. And if he was in the bounds of the law, he was. You know, maybe we need to reform that tax code, and that's what the Republicans have been working on. We had a historic landmark change last Congress, but, you know, we'll have to see how all that comes out.
Congressman, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, one of the most articulate members of the Congress, and certainly it is good to catch up with you. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Jim. Talk to you later.
See you soon. Appreciate it.